Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming to your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Oh, yeah, many of us are broken. I tell you, COVID has left so many of us broken, and we're trying to recover. In fact, I've actually seen the evidence of those that are recovering and finding a new way to deal with loss and grief. Well, everyone experiences loss and grief, if only from breaking up with someone or having aging parents or kids, or children, I should say, leaving home. As we learn from the people who must cope with the more catastrophic situations of ambiguous loss. Yes, I've never heard that term before. Ambiguous loss. We learn how to tolerate the ambiguity in our more common losses in everyday life. Now, in her new book, yes, her name is Dr. Pauline Boss. The Myth of Closure, Ambiguous Loss in a Time of Pandemic and Change. This was released on December 14th, 2021, if I'm not mistaken. A renowned grief expert and psychologist, Pauline Boss, PhD, tackles how to deal with even more loss in the age of COVID-19 and the beginning of a war in the Ukraine. Dr. Boss is joining us right now. How are you, and welcome?
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure, Geraldine.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Help us understand what ambiguous loss really is.
It's simply an unclear loss. And I chose a title for it back in the 1970s that is very illustrative of what it is. I didn't want it to be a medical term. I want it to be a term ordinary people would understand, even somewhat a poetic term. That means an unclear loss, and those are the losses that never were identified. We all know what a death is. There's a death certificate and sympathy cards and rituals at the church, and people gather, at least before the pandemic they did. But with ambiguous losses, nobody notices, which is all the more confusing for the people who experience it. More severely would be what we're seeing on TV now in the Ukraine, where families are separated. You don't know if they're dead or alive, or if you'll meet again. It's a very painful kind of loss. My first research was on the missing in action families, the MIA families, where soldiers were missing in action in Southeast Asia. That's physical ambiguous loss. But there's also psychological ambiguous loss, as with Alzheimer's disease or dementia or brain injury, where the person is in front of you, but they're gone. They're here, but not here. So these two types of ambiguous loss were never identified before as a loss or needing grieving.
That is remarkable, knowing that you did not stumble over this. You really made it make sense to just about any individual in reading about this. So when you take a look at ambiguous loss and those generations that are dealing with that, I would look at it and say every generation today has ambiguous loss. Would you agree?
Exactly. And worse than that, there is cross-generational suffering, cross-generational trauma from it. For example, with slavery, with every war we've had, with the Holocaust, with genocides from the beginning of time, those kinds of disappearances of people, where the loved ones left behind don't know if they're dead or alive or if they're coming back, those are extra traumatic for families, and those stories and reactions are passed on down through the generations. People don't forget about that, just as people today won't forget about the pandemic when loved ones were lost and you couldn't be with them, or what we're seeing on TV right now. People won't forget that. It will affect future generations.
But how will they heal if they never forget?
Well, healing is not quite the right word to use with loss and grief. What you want to do is have an acceptance of the loss, which, of course, is terribly difficult if you don't know if the person is really dead or not. So you have to use a different approach with ambiguous loss than you do with death. With ambiguous loss, you have to use both and thinking. He's both gone and maybe not. He's both dead and maybe not. Or with psychological ambiguous loss, like dementia, you'd say she's here, but she's also gone. So that kind of both and thinking is as close to the truth as you can get with ambiguous loss. There isn't one absolute answer.
There are so many people that are on board with this ambiguous loss, and I'm just curious to know how you were able to put this out into the universe and have so many go, oh my goodness, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we need to call it. You must have been very excited to hear from so many experts and people who have dealt with ambiguous loss and really understand it.
Well, I'm a professor emeritus. I've been at the University of Wisconsin first and then the University of Minnesota for many years, just doing, you know, the hard work of science and research and theory building and teaching. And all of a sudden, you know, professors publish so they don't perish. So I like writing, but in academic books primarily. And then when I was at Harvard as a visiting professor, that was the first book on ambiguous loss published in 1999. And it went around the world. And I sold over 40,000 copies, I believe, by now. And then there were several other books as well. One called Loving Someone Who Has Dementia. Another one called Loss, Trauma, and Resilience, which also has been translated into many languages. And then the current book, The Myth of Closure, has just taken off right away, which is unusual for me. And so I am indeed surprised, as you say, to know how many people around the world are interested in this concept.
Well, it sure seems like a concept that most of us can take hold of. I know in your new book, you asked the question, how do we begin to cope with loss that cannot be resolved? Tell us more about that.
Well, what we know now, the researchers are showing us that people can live with loss and grief. They don't get over it. There is no closure, nor should we want it. It's better to learn to live with loss by finding meaning and some new kind of hope or purpose in it. For example, when my little brother died in the 50s of polio, before the shock vaccine came out, our family was devastated. But what we did was help the March of Dimes by going door to door to collect dimes to increase the research possibilities. You will see that today, that many people who have a death or an ambiguous loss in the family will find a purpose to work on that prevents other people from suffering as they did. And that gives them a new meaning to life, because it's sometimes hard to find it when it's an unclear loss.
And if we never find it, then we can't get to the point where we understand it. I'm curious to know about children. I have three grandchildren, 1-year-old, 4-year-old, and a 9-year-old. And the 4 and 9-year-olds, my 9-year-old is really having a challenge with dealing with loss, loss of friends, with school, you know, not having the people always in school. She's not always in school. She has to come back home and get on the computer again. And we can see the frustration. We can see how she is dealing with the loss of it all. What advice would you give parents who can obviously see in their children that ambiguous loss is there? How do you start the conversation?
Well, I think children understand ambiguous loss. You can say it's an unclear loss instead of using that word. But they understand if you say that you don't understand it either, that it is a loss that is not easily understood, like, for example, when Grandpa died or something like that. And there are books about this sort of lack of clarity. The thing is that we as parents have to understand it first, and that is we're a nation of mastery-oriented people. We like to fix things and find cures and have a definitive answer. And with the pandemic and with a lot of our troubles today, there is no definitive answer yet. You know, the scientists came up with one to help us with the COVID virus, but certainly our social problems are not solved yet. And I think that's good to tell the children that we're working on it, but there isn't a definitive answer yet, and that we can tolerate ambiguity, that is, not knowing right now. Regarding some of those losses, you know, they're young, so there will be a chance to make it up. But I think one way that a psychiatrist told me about increasing our tolerance for ambiguity, and I'm talking about the elders now, the parents, but also the children, and that is to get in a car and say to the child, "Let's get lost," and that they so enjoy that kind of a ride. Without a plan, without a destination, with the surprises that turn up because you don't quite know where you're going, and that this game you play with yourself and with your children is a way to increase our tolerance for ambiguity. In fact, I did it with my husband, Dudley Riggs, when he was not able to walk anymore, and I would say to him, north, south, east, or west, and he would say which direction, and we'd head off getting lost. And it was such fun for us. And I can tell you, children love it. So it's one way to increase our tolerance for ambiguity, because believe me, there are many problems we have today where we can't have our way, where we don't know the answer, and where the answer might never be available, or it might take a time. A long time for it to come forth.
I love that you mentioned that particular game. I have played that game with myself. In every city I go into that I have never been to before, I rent a car and I get lost. And I find
way.
I just find my way. And I learn so much. Sometimes I meet people when I park to go in and get coffee, and I get to stop and talk to people. So you're absolutely right.
You have a high tolerance for ambiguity. On a test, you would score high.
I never thought I would after reading about you and your book. So that's great to hear. But I will encourage that, bringing my granddaughters with me so that they,
yes,
too can learn what that means.
You know that what's happened is, you know, I'm old enough to have lived through World War II. I was a preteen at that time. And that was 4 years long of being afraid and scared and knowing that horrendous things were taking place, and we were afraid that what was happening even in our own country, whether it would come here. Now, today, nothing, up until the pandemic, life was pretty good. Not for everyone, of course, But we didn't have any wars on our soil and no pandemics and so on. And then, boom, all of a sudden something comes, a virus of an invisible enemy covers the entire globe, and we have to stay home. We can't see our friends. I would explain it that way to a child, that now and then we can't have our way, and it will be all right.
Mm-hmm. So many parents don't necessarily take that step. You and I know for sure that we should.
I know.
I am so glad that you joined us tonight, Dr. Boss. Thank you very much, and I look forward to your new book, your next book, coming out.
Oh, well, I don't know. We'll see.
Thank you again for joining us here on WCCO Radio.
Thank you, Geraldine. Thank you so much.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dr. Pauline Boss, yes, Professor Emeritus at the University of Minnesota. I had no idea she was married to Dudley Riggs. Oh, my goodness. I can just imagine how much fun they had in trying to figure out what it means to be lost and getting lost purposely just to have a blast. As we move forward and you hear this term, ambiguous loss, ambiguity, you know, you hear that and you think, wow, what does that really mean? It means a lot. And this is something, if you were to get this book, I believe you would find the answers that you may have been seeking for your family, for your grandparents, your parents, your sick family, your children, your grandchildren, whomever it is that is expressing that. Just remember, there is this book out there, and I encourage you to get it from Dr. Pauline Boss. We'll be back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It is now 8:28 here at WCCO. Welcome back. As we were talking about the loss and how people are dealing with it, the pandemic has so many people feeling so much loss. Some have lost family, friends. Some have had to deal with the death of those family and friends. Yet we keep moving forward, right? It's a pandemic that we have not seen in my generation before, nothing like this. And so we have to figure out a way to continue to grow and be better and get better at having relationships and finding a way to get through loss, get through it. It's a journey through it. Well, coming up next is going to be Chris Velasco. He's from the Washington Post, and we're going to talk about how a whole lot of apps can save money at the gas pump. I'm so frustrated with what it's costing right now. I don't understand why. It always feels to me like this is put out there so, you know, the oil oligarchs can make more money. Is this really necessary to have $4 and something cents for regular gas? I don't understand that. And we're going to talk about that at 8:35 with Chris Velasco from the Washington Post. I've got so many questions. Also, I want to know later on, if I have time, I definitely want to get into some phone calls about where you're getting the cheapest gas in the great state of Minnesota and in the Twin Cities. And if you've got some suggestions, just let us know. I have the Gas Buddy app, and I, you know, used to always look at it and say, well, where can I get cheaper gas? And then it kind of leveled out. And now I'm thinking, huh, yeah, I really need to get back on that one for sure. All right, coming up next is the weather. And after that, we have our guest coming on at 8:35. And then center stage is at 9 o'clock. We'll be back. It is now 8:34 here at WCCO, and I am so excited to interview Chris Velasco from the Washington Post, one of my favorite newspapers. Welcome, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, Jayla. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you join us. Okay, we're going to talk about some apps that could help us save money at the gas pump. Can I just tell you, that's almost number one right now. Almost, not quite. And we need to look at offsetting what you pay with a little bit of planning. So let's talk about this. Let's just jump right in, because gas prices are just out of control.
It's truly, truly unreasonable for most Americans. Looking at AAA's national average gas price, as of, I believe today, the national average price per gallon in the United States is about, it's a hair over $4.30. And I think in Minnesota, there are some counties that are getting especially close to that. Maybe we haven't fully tiptoed over that threshold yet, but no matter who you are, if you're driving and if you're having to go to that pump, it's going to be a thing.
Yeah, you know, and I'm feeling some kind of way about it. I mean, I'm starting to complain. I don't like to complain. And I'm starting to complain about this because it doesn't make sense for me. Some people are telling me it's all about the Ukraine and Russia war. This is why this is happening. You agree?
That's certainly part of the issue. I think we started to see gas prices rise before the Ukraine situation started spiraling out of control. And a lot of that had to do with the way people's behaviors had changed as a result of the pandemic. So, you know, we spent a lot of the last 2 years sort of more or less indoors. That caused some oil producers to sort of dial down their supply sort of across the board. And as we sort of reemerged from you know, quarantines and sort of becoming part of the world again and venturing out there, then the demand started to kick up again. And then that mismatch between the existing supply that had been dialed down and the demand that was shooting through the roof because you want to be out there again has really contributed to this problem as well.
Someone look at you and just say, hey, just go and buy an electric car and get over it. What would you say to them?
Hey, if you have the means to do that, and I don't just mean financially, if you live in a place where the sort of infrastructure is put together enough that you could reliably charge at home or charge on the way to work, or you know, there are just enough charging stations between you and wherever it is you ultimately want to go, then I think that's a pretty sound investment. And, you know, I think in time we'll see this current gas price spike begin to taper off, but I think it's also pretty indicative that these are going to be issues we're going to be having long term, right? Like, our reliance on oil has always kind of been a problem, and regardless of the sort of peaks and valleys that we hit as a result of, you know, geopolitical factors and supply and demand, the point is we should all consider moving towards an EV if that's reasonable. But again, there are just a lot of people out there living in a lot of areas where the structures and the infrastructure that sort of make that feasible for them just really aren't quite there yet.
Here's what really bothers me. I don't understand why we are encouraged to buy these cars that use oil, right? I don't get it. Then we turn around and say, oh, maybe you should get an electric car because that, and those are even more expensive. And then they say, no, you should just take, you know, transit, metro transit. That's the way to go. And so many people are doing it in the Twin Cities right now. It is really working. Transportation on the light rail, you name it, the buses, whatever. It's working. So why not just say to all the cities, especially the big cities, hey, we're going to just slow down on the oil, the gas. You know, we're going to learn to ride our bikes, you know, especially when it's warm outside. Those are the things I think about, but it's something I'll never do.
I'm sort of with you on that one. I lived in New York before moving to San Francisco to come work for the Post. And, you know, having really sort of robust and well thought out sort of public transit systems can really help. And, you know, back in New York, I knew very few people generally who had cars and sort of relied on them day to day. It was, you jump on a bus, you know, grab a city bike, you know, take the subway, et cetera. But I feel like there's something about sort of car ownership that is so tied to sort of various parts of the American psyche where, you know, I think we're taught from a young age, and maybe this is less so now because I'm certainly not the spring chicken I used to be, but you're taught from a young age that a car sort of represents freedom and it's sort of a milestone in your life. And then it sort of spirals out and involves these other things and you begin to rely on it for your commutes and for your family. So extricating the car from a person's life, it's a great thing to do in theory. And I think a lot of people have the sort of means and the wherewithal to be able to do that. But it's certainly not going to be true of everybody. And until we sort of see some really kind of broad generational sort of shifts in how we think about our relationship to cars, we're probably not going to see people dramatically sort of taper off their use, at least in the way that I think might make a big difference.
I agree with that. And since we have all of these apps that we can start relating with, if you don't have any apps about gas or where the cheapest gas is, I encourage you to do it. But what are some of your favorites?
So a few that I've come to rely on and people around me have come to rely on, Gas Buddy is probably the most popular gas comparison service out there. And with good reason. There have been many that have sort of come and gone over the years, but Gas Buddy is the one that sort of continually has stuck around and sort of added features to its sort of overall experience that people generally find helpful. But the core of it is if you fire up Gas Buddy, the app, you install it on your iOS or your Android device, you create an account, and you're very quickly just shown a list of nearby gas stations and what the price of, you know, fuel is, depending on what your preferred grade is. There are some downsides to using apps like these. Gas Buddy, if I'm not mistaken, at least partially relies on the people who go to these gas stations to make sure the prices are correct. So if you live in an area where Gas Buddy isn't as popular, for example, you might not be getting the fullest, clearest sense of what a gallon of gas will cost you until you actually roll up to the gas station. And for some people, again, that's maybe not the hugest concern, but I think finding ways to sort of prevent the gas price spike from really hitting you requires quite a bit of planning and a little bit of time if you're able to devote that to this sort of entire endeavor. So if you the ability to maybe not as accurately plan before you make your move is going to be kind of a deal breaker for some people.
I agree with that. Gas Buddies is my number one to go to, so I agree with you on that. My biggest challenge is sometimes you're told, okay, it's this amount, and then you get there, and it's a totally different amount. Maybe it's even higher, and that's frustrating. Why is it when we see it on the app, it tells us how much it is? Why is it allowed? Why is that gas station allowed to go up when we've been told that that's what it is? And that's before we even get there.
Of course. And again, I think that really speaks nicely to sort of the mismatch in data, right? A gas station, and some gas stations and some companies that sort of own, operate, and manage gas stations are very good about sharing their price data on a near real-time basis. And some other apps are able to take advantage of that. Others, like Gas Buddy, from time to time, you know, you are looking at a situation where there is the price that's on the sign. You don't really see it until you get there. And if no one has actually, you know, taken note of that and made sure to update it in the app, there's a pretty good chance you're just going to miss that or make a decision based off of incomplete information. So, I mean, unfortunately, like, gas prices rise and fall throughout the day, as we've all seen, just because of the demand and the supply sort of unrolling the way that it does for that day. So unless you have people who are generally really good about making sure those prices are well reflected across these multiple services, you can't always guarantee that the sort of plan you've built for yourself before you get into your car is the sort of plan that you ultimately act on once you get to the gas station.
Okay, so here we are looking at these apps, and we're saying we can save money if we just pay attention and go to these places that have cheaper gas. What about the quality of the actual gas? Does that matter when it comes to where people go to get their gas? It sure matters to me.
It certainly does matter to some people. From what I've seen in sort of investigating some of the apps people use to find this cheap gas, it obviously, like, your premium tiers will still cost considerably more than, like, a regular tank of gas. And I sort of focused my sort of investigation is a lofty word for what I did, but sort of getting into just like peeking apart sort of the data available and sort of the gas prices that sort of tend to pop up most frequently. I mean, yeah, if your car is, you know, perfectly, if you feel fine putting a regular in your car, you should continue to do that just because it'll see you the most savings in the short term at the very least.
Right. So true. So here I am. I'm driving around town. I go the usual way, right? And then all of a sudden you tell us, hey, pay attention to the route that you take. Maybe there's a better route to save money. Tell us more about that.
That's very true. You know, I think a lot of people who jump into their cars and, you know, do the same commute every day, they probably have gotten that. They've boiled it down to an art. You can probably do with your eyes closed. Not that you ever really should. But, you know, these are very sort of common paths. We know the sort of ins and outs and how to sort of make sure that we spend the least amount of time in them as possible. But it's getting nice out. You know, where I think a lot of people are considering what to do over the summer and in sort of a safe way that often involves people's cars. So as you sort of consider what you might be doing with your car in the next couple months, it'd be a good idea to use a new feature that was built into the Google Maps application for iPhones and Android phones last year called the Eco Routing. So basically, once you use Google Maps, same as always, you punch in your current location or let your phone figure out where you are, you punch in your destination, you hit the button to show you the routes, and more often than not, the shortest route is the one you'd want to take anyway. It's the one Google recommends, and it's the one that would probably have the least impact on the environment because it is the most fuel efficient. But there are certain cases, because Google Maps takes into account traffic data and sort of elevation, that if you were to pick an alternate route that is sort of denoted by a green leaf inside the app, that is designed to be, or Google understands that to be, a little more fuel efficient. If you actually click that route option, you'll get an estimate. We can't vouch for exactly how accurate they are, but you do get mm-hmm. an estimate for how much fuel you would save if you took this route versus the one you might normally have taken.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I need to do more of right there. Let's talk about getting cash back when you can. I know that a lot of people say, hey, if I get cash back, I'm going to that place, whether it's cheaper gas or not, or if it's really good gas at a better, you know, easier price for us to accept. So tell us how getting cash back really matters to people when it comes to the gas pump.
I mean, truly, at this point, with gas prices hitting these all-time highs that they're hitting, I strongly recommend all people to sort of consider every possible option that they have. You know, a lot of people will have credit cards, for example, that include these cashback sort of promotional schemes that apply to gas. But if you're not that kind of person, if you don't have that kind of credit card or credit cards are not your thing, I totally understand that there are applications out there that sort of replicate some of those features that in a way that don't require you to do much extra work and ultimately do get you a little bit of money back. So services like TrueNow, GetUpside, these are applications basically that allow you to roll up to a gas station and fill up your car the way you always would. And sort of depending on which service you use, the kind of experience diverges from like that initial kind of show up and fill up. So for a service like TrueNow, there are participating gas stations, but all you do is you go and you fill up your car, same as always. Once you've created an account, you scan a copy of your receipt, and once they chew on that, you get however many points back as cash back deposited in your account. And you can either use those points at sort of other participating locations, be they gas stations or grocery stores or nearby restaurants, or you can have them cashed out directly via PayPal, and you ultimately just walk away with money. The one downside to a service like that is that because they use PayPal to sort of get you the money if you choose to cash out, PayPal takes a considerable chunk. I believe it's close to half in some cases.
Oh,
so
ouch.
It'll slowly get you something back, but it's maybe not the best way to go if you want to make money or sort of offset what you're paying at the pump really quickly in the short term. We've had slightly better experiences with a service called GetUpside, which works differently. Again, there are participating gas stations. And you, again, this is where the planning comes in. You open the app, you see the map, you see the gas stations nearby that sort of support this scheme, and you sort of claim your spot to be able to claim that cash back. So it's not going to be all of them, obviously. You might have to go a little bit out of your way, but once you claim that slot in their system and show up and fill up, then you can claim that cash back a little more easily after the fact. So it requires a bit more planning, as we've discussed. You know, it is very important to kind of think through your gas strategy these days in particular. But it does seem to be able to get people cash back with less of fuss, which is, I think we all agree is probably the better way to go.
Okay, and then Get Upside, you did talk about that, but what is a gas station partner? Who are they?
These are gas stations that just have, you know, commercial partnerships with Get Upside and TrueNow. I believe Shell and other sort of like major gas station chains are part of this. You might, if you're not sure, because I don't know exactly which ones are sort of linked up with them right off the bat, but it's a free download. It might be worth checking just to see what the lay of the land is around you. If you have quite a few of these gas stations that participate in these cashback services nearby, it might be worth sort of reconfiguring and rethinking where you stop and when you stop.
Let me ask you very quickly about Uber drivers. A lot of times, at least initially, I knew some Uber drivers and they had to pay for their own gas. Does Uber give them the money to do that now, to get the gas, because it's so expensive and many of them have to go quite some distance?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
It is now 8:34 here at WCCO, and I am so excited to interview Chris Valesco from the Washington Post, one of my favorite newspapers. Welcome, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, Jayla. Thanks for having me.
So glad to have you join us. Okay, we're going to talk about some apps that could help us save money at the gas pump. Can I just tell you, that's almost number one right now. Almost, not quite. And we need to look at offsetting what you pay with a little bit of planning. So let's talk about this. Let's just jump right in, because gas prices are just out of control.
It's truly, truly unreasonable for most Americans. Looking at AAA's national average gas price, as of, I believe, today, the national average price per gallon in the United States is about, it's a hair over $4.30. And I think in Minnesota, there are some counties that are getting especially close to that. Maybe we haven't fully tiptoed over that threshold yet, but no matter who you are, if you're driving and if you're having to go to that pump, it's going to be a thing.
Yeah, you know, and I'm feeling some kind of way about it. I mean, I'm starting to complain. I don't like to complain. And I'm starting to complain about this because it doesn't make sense for me. Some people are telling me it's all about the Ukraine and Russia war. This is why this is happening. You agree?
That's just, that's certainly part of the issue. I think we started to see gas prices rise before the Ukraine situation started spiraling out of control. And a lot of that had to do with the way people's behaviors had changed as a result of the pandemic. So, you know, we spent a lot of the last 2 years sort of more or less indoors. That caused some oil producers to sort of dial down their supply sort of across the board. And as we sort of reemerged from you know, quarantines and sort of becoming part of the world again and venturing out there, then the demand started to kick up again. And then that mismatch between the existing supply that had been dialed down and the demand that was shooting through the roof because you want to be out there again has really contributed to this problem as well.
Someone look at you and just say, hey, just go and buy an electric car and get over it. What would you say to them?
Hey, if you have the means to do that, and I don't just mean financially, if you live in a place where the sort of infrastructure is put together enough that you could reliably charge at home or charge on the way to work, or you know, there are just enough charging stations between you and wherever it is you ultimately want to go, then I think that's a pretty sound investment. And, you know, I think in time we'll see this current gas price spike begin to taper off, but I think it's also pretty indicative that these are going to be issues we're going to be having long term, right? Like, our reliance on oil has always kind of been a problem, and regardless of the sort of peaks and valleys that we hit as a result of, you know, geopolitical factors and supply and demand, the point is we should all consider moving towards an EV if that's reasonable. But again, there are just a lot of people out there living in a lot of areas where the structures and the infrastructure that sort of make that feasible for them just really aren't quite there yet.
Here's what really bothers me. I don't understand why we are encouraged to buy these cars that use oil, right? I don't get it. Then we turn around and say, oh, maybe you should get an electric car because that, and those are even more expensive. And then they say, no, you should just take, you know, transit, metro transit. That's the way to go. And so many people are doing it in the Twin Cities right now. It is really working. Transportation on the light rail, you name it, the buses, whatever. It's working. So why not just say to all the cities, especially the big cities, hey, we're going to just slow down on the oil, the gas. You know, we're going to learn to ride our bikes, you know, especially when it's warm outside. Those are the things I think about, but it's something I'll never do.
I'm sort of with you on that one. I lived in New York before moving to San Francisco to come work for the Post. And, you know, having really sort of robust and well thought out sort of public transit systems can really help. And, you know, back in New York, I knew very few people generally who had cars and sort of relied on them day to day. It was, you jump on a bus, you know, grab a city bike, you know, take the subway, et cetera. But I feel like there's something about sort of car ownership that is so tied to sort of various parts of the American psyche where, you know, I think we're taught from a young age, and maybe this is less so now because I'm certainly not the spring chicken I used to be, but you're taught from a young age that the car sort of represents freedom and it's sort of a milestone in your life, and then it sort of spirals out and involves these other things, and you begin to rely on it for your commutes and for your family. So extricating the car from a person's life is a great thing to do in theory. And I think a lot of people have the sort of means and the wherewithal to be able to do that, but it's certainly not going to be true of everybody. And until we sort of see some really kind of broad generational sort of shifts in how we think about our relationship to cars, we're probably not going to see people dramatically sort of taper off their use, at least in the way that I think might make a big difference.
I agree with that. And since we have all of these apps that we can start relating with, if you don't have any apps about gas or where the cheapest gas is, I encourage you to do it. But what are some of your favorites?
So a few that I've come to rely on and people around me have come to rely on, Gas Buddy is probably the most popular gas comparison service out there, and with good reason. There have been many that have sort of come and gone over the years, but Gas Buddy is the one that sort of continually has stuck around and sort of added features to its sort of overall experience that people generally find helpful. But the core of it is, if you fire up Gas Buddy, the app, you install it on your iOS or your Android device, you create an account, and you're very quickly just shown a list of nearby gas stations and what the price of, you know, fuel is, depending on what your preferred grade is. There are some downsides to using apps like these. Gas Buddy, if I'm not mistaken, at least partially relies on the people who go to these gas stations to make sure the prices are correct. So if you live in an area where Gas Buddy isn't as popular, for example, you might not be getting the fullest, clearest sense of what a gallon of gas will cost you until you actually roll up to the gas station. And for some people, again, that's maybe not the hugest concern, but I think finding ways to sort of prevent the gas price spike from really hitting you requires quite a bit of planning and a little bit of time if you're able to devote that to this sort of entire endeavor. So if you the ability to maybe not as accurately plan before you make your move is going to be kind of a deal breaker for some people.
I agree with that. Gas Buddies is my number one to go to. So I agree with you on that. My biggest challenge is sometimes you're told, okay, it's this amount. And then you get there and it's a totally different amount. Maybe it's even higher. And that's frustrating. Why is it when we see it on the app, it tells us how much it is. Why is it allowed? Why is that gas station allowed to go up when we've been told that that's what it is? And that's before we even get there.
Of course. And again, I think that really speaks nicely to sort of the mismatch in data, right? A gas station, and some gas stations and some companies that sort of own, operate, and manage gas stations are very good about sharing their price data on a near real-time basis. And some other apps are able to take advantage of that. Others, like Gas Buddy, from time to time, you know, you are looking at a situation where there is the price that's on the sign. You don't really see it until you get there. And if no one has actually, you know, taken note of that and made sure to update it in the app, there's a pretty good chance you're just going to miss that or make information or make a decision based off of incomplete information. So, I mean, unfortunately, like gas prices rise and fall throughout the day, as we've all seen, just because of the demand and the supply sort of unrolling the way that it does for that day. So unless you have people who are generally really good about making sure those prices are well reflected across these multiple services, you can't always guarantee that the sort of plan you've built for yourself before you get into your car is the sort of plan that you ultimately act on once you get to the gas station.
Okay, so here we are looking at these apps, and we're saying we can save money if we just pay attention and go to these places that have cheaper gas. What about the quality of the actual gas? Does that matter when it comes to where people go to get their gas? It sure matters to me.
It certainly does matter to some people. From what I've seen in sort of investigating some of the apps people use to find this cheap gas, it obviously, like, your premium tiers will still cost considerably more than, like, a regular tank of gas. And I sort of focused my sort of investigation is a lofty word for what I did, but sort of getting into just, like, peeking apart the data available and sort of the gas prices that sort of tend to pop up most frequently. I mean, yeah, if your car is, you know, perfectly, if you feel fine putting a regular in your car, you should continue to do that just because it'll see you the most savings in the short term at the very least.
Right. So true. So here I am. I'm driving around town. I go the usual way, right? And then all of a sudden you tell us, hey, pay attention to the route that you take. Maybe there's a better route to save money. Tell us more about that.
That's very true. You know, I think a lot of people who jump into their cars and, you know, do the same commute every day, they probably have gotten that. They've boiled it down to an art. You probably do with your eyes closed. Not that you ever really should. But, you know, these are very sort of common paths. We know the sort of ins and outs and how to sort of make sure that we spend the least amount of time in them as possible. But it's getting nice out. You know, where I think a lot of people are considering what to do over the summer and in sort of a safe way that often involves people's cars. So as you sort of consider what you might be doing with your car in the next couple months, it'd be a good idea to use a new feature that was built into the Google Maps application for iPhones and Android phones last year called the Eco Routing. So basically, once you use Google Maps, same as always, you punch in your current location or let your phone figure out where you are, you punch in your destination, you hit the button to show you the routes, and more often than not, the shortest route is the one you'd want to take anyway. It's the one Google recommends, and it's the one that would probably have the least impact on the environment because it is the most fuel efficient. But there are certain cases, because Google Maps takes into account traffic data and sort of elevation, that if you were to pick an alternate route that is sort of denoted by a green leaf inside the app, that is designed to be, or Google understands that to be, a little more fuel efficient. If you actually click that route option, you'll get an estimate. We can't vouch for exactly how accurate they are, but you get mm-hmm. an estimate for how much fuel you would save if you took this route versus the one you might normally have taken.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I need to do more of right there. Let's talk about getting cash back when you can. I know that a lot of people say, hey, if I get cash back, I'm going to that place, whether it's cheaper gas or not, or if it's really good gas at a better, you know, easier price for us to accept. So tell us how getting cash back really matters to people when it comes to the gas pump.
I mean, truly, at this point, with gas prices hitting these all-time highs that they're hitting, I strongly recommend all people to sort of consider every possible option that they have. You know, a lot of people will have credit cards, for example, that include these cashback sort of promotional schemes that apply to gas. But if you're not that kind of person, if you don't have that kind of credit card or credit cards are not your thing, I totally understand that there are applications out there that sort of replicate some of those features that in a way that don't require you to do much extra work and ultimately do get you a little bit of money back. So services like TrueNow, GetUpside, these are applications basically that allow you to roll up to a gas station and fill up your car the way you always would. And sort of depending on which service you use, the kind of experience diverges from like that initial kind of show up and fill up. So for a service like TrueNow, there are participating gas stations, but all you do is you go and you fill up your car, same as always. Once you've created an account, you scan a copy of your receipt, and once they chew on that, you get however many points back as cash back deposited in your account. And you can either use those points at sort of other participating locations, be they gas stations or grocery stores or nearby restaurants, or you can have them cashed out directly via PayPal, and you ultimately just walk away with money. The one downside to a service like that is that because they use PayPal to sort of get you the money if you choose to cash out, PayPal takes a considerable chunk. I believe it's close to half in some cases.
Oh,
so
ouch.
It'll slowly get you something back, but it's maybe not the best way to go if you want to make money or sort of offset what you're paying at the pump really quickly in the short term. We've had slightly better experiences with a service called GetUpside, which works differently. Again, there are participating gas stations, and this is where the planning comes in. You open the app, you see the map, you see the gas stations nearby that sort of support this scheme, and you sort of claim your spot to be able to claim that cash back. So it's not going to be all of them, obviously. You might have to go a little bit out of your way, but once you claim that slot in their system and show up and fill up, then you can claim that cash back a little more easily after the fact. So it requires a bit more planning. As we've discussed, you know, it is very important to kind of think through your gas strategy these days in particular. But it does seem to be able to get people cash back with less of a fuss, which is, I think we all agree, is probably the better way to go.
Okay, and then GetUpside, you did talk about that, but what is a gas station partner? Who are they?
These are gas stations that just have, you know, commercial partnerships with GetUpside and TrueNow. I believe Shell and another sort of like major gas station chains are part of this. You might, if you're not sure, because I don't know exactly which ones are sort of linked up with them right off the bat, but it's a free download. It might be worth checking just to see what the lay of the land is around you. If you have quite a few of these gas stations that participate in these cashback services nearby, it might be worth sort of reconfiguring and rethinking where you stop and when you stop.
Let me ask you very quickly about Uber drivers. A lot of times, at least initially, I knew some Uber drivers and they had to pay for their own gas. Does Uber give them the money to do that now, to get the gas because it's so expensive and many of them have to go quite some distance?
Yeah, it's a really big concern, especially, you know, the gig economy is something a lot of people are having to lean on. And now where, you know, people do rely on this for their like main income, every little bit does count. And the sort of losses that you're starting to see accumulate because of these high gas prices is very difficult. Uber has started to take action in response to this. I believe on Friday in the U.S. and Canada, riders taking Uber trips will pay an additional fee of up to, I believe, 55 cents as a fuel surcharge. These are temporary. They'll last for about 2 months, is I believe what Uber has said about it, just to kind of help offset, frankly, the pain that people are feeling at the pump. If you're an Uber driver and you're truly sort of taking enough rides, that might actually help. That could contribute, you know, enough for an extra gallon or two at the pump that you might not have to pay out of pocket completely. But if you're just sort of doing this part time, or if you're just doing it to supplement your income, there is a very big question as to whether or not these little sort of fees added to the bulk of a trip really make a difference for you. I'm not sure that they do.
Wow, incredible. Chris Velasco, thank you so much for joining us tonight from the Washington Post, which I love. And hopefully we've really learned from this. Many can listen to the podcast and see if you can glean a bit more from his conversation. But we really thank you for doing this because our gas is going up, up, and up. So there you go.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Take care, Chris. All right. We are going to take a break here and come back and wrap this hour up. And of course, 9 o'clock hour is all about Center Stage. It is 8:56 here at WCCO, and I am excited to mention that we have a great Center Stage lined up for you tonight. We only have a minute to let you know about it, but it, let me just say, 9:08, I'm so excited to talk to Pamela Helmer McNeil. And you know her, we've had her on before. And she's going to talk about Wild Angels and at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. So you want to stay tuned for that at 9:08. At 9:20, it's Craig Johnson, director of The Mouse Trap, which was written by Agatha Christie, but is directed by Craig. And then, of course, at 9:33 is Sandy Bourne Barrett. I haven't talked to her for a long time. She's from Stages Company. Stages Theater Company. She's the artistic director and the director of a show called Tuck Everlasting. And finally, 9:50, Legends with Dennis Spears. You do not want to miss this 1 hour coming up next. It is 8:56 here at WCCO, and I am excited to mention that we have a great Center Stage lined up for you tonight. We only have a minute to let you know about it, but it, let me just say, 9:08, I'm so excited to talk to Pamela Helmer McNeil. And you know her, we've had her on before. And she's going to talk about Wild Angels and at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. So you want to stay tuned for that at 9:08. At 9:20, it's Craig Johnson, director of The Mouse Trap, which was written by Agatha Christie, but is directed by Craig. And then, of course, at 9:33 is Sandy Bourne Barrett. I haven't talked to her for a long time. She's from Stages Company. Stages Theater Company. She's the artistic director and the director of a show called Tuck Everlasting. And finally, 9:50, Legends with Dennis Spears. You do not want to miss this 1 hour coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.